Each Christmas on Christmas Eve, I feel a little bit like David Niven, who plays the bishop in the old movie The Bishop's Wife. And some of you may not have seen that story. It's one of the old black and white Christmas classics. And in the movie, he is stressed about many things and doesn't have time to prepare a Christmas Eve sermon. When all of a sudden, Cary Grant shows up. And he plays an angel who writes the sermon for him. I'm not claiming to be stressed, but I confess that sometimes I wish an angel would come and write a sermon or two for me. That never happens. It just seems like, of all the messages of the year, the one on Christmas Eve should stand out. And yet, with all of the music and all of the other things that we do that are such a wonderful part of our Christmas traditions, it may be that the words I speak are the last thing that anybody will remember. So bear with me briefly while I speak about a part of the Christmas tradition, an aspect of our Christmas celebration that has sort of been working on me as we've gone through the weeks of Advent. We hold these truths to be self-evident, the Declaration of Independence states, that all men are created equal. Thomas Jefferson wrote those words, and yet we know from some of his other writings that there's a good chance he meant something quite a bit less than what he said. Nonetheless, those of us who've come after him have had to contend not with whatever maybe he intended, but with what he did say. And as time goes by, we are increasingly persuaded that there is no really good way to interpret that phrase, all men, in less than its broadest sense, to include everybody. All men means all people, regardless of race or creed or gender or political persuasion, or anything else that distinguishes one person from another. In the angel's message to the shepherds around Bethlehem, when Jesus was born, the angel made a similar statement. He said, "Fear not, for I bring good news to you of great joy." And then he said, "Which shall be to all people." And I'm not really one to know the mind of an angel, but there is a good chance that the shepherds and anybody else who might have been within earshot might have taken that phrase, all the people, and understood it to mean less than what it seems to be saying. They might have thought it meant all the people of Israel. They might have thought it meant all of God's chosen people. I think it would be easy, perhaps, for we as Christians, all these years later, to hear it as all the Christian people. And here again, we are challenged by what the angel said, and not necessarily by how it might have been understood. What he said was that the good news of this one birth is for everyone. Part of the power of Christmas over us is that the joy of it is not only for ourselves, but for everyone else too. And this is the aspect of Christmas that sort of has been working on me week after week as we've worked our way through Advent. And maybe sometimes it's the only thing that saves Christmas from our selfish degradations and excesses, which are seen almost every year. Of all the days in the year, this day is the one when we want everyone to be happy. We want the good news to be for all the people. And I think of war stories where on Christmas Day there was a truce and enemies dying together all the people. Just think of some of the things that we have done during our celebration and our Advent time. We raised an offering for retired missionaries and ministers. We're still raising it, as a matter of fact. And the interesting thing about that is many of those people are people we don't know. We're blessed to have some people that benefit from that here in our congregation that we do know. We also collected toys for children who are in the foster care system. And we made soup. 17 crock pots full of soup. We should have been here that night. And we donated it to the Place of Warmth, which is at Zion United Church of Christ on cold nights, so that homeless men will not only have a warm place to sleep, but also a hot meal, a nourishing meal. And at Christmas time, we shop to give, not just to receive. This works on us, I think, and it is this inclusive aspect of Christmas that needs emphasis. And perhaps if there's only one thing I can do, I can draw that emphasis out for a few minutes this evening. It's good for us to seek universal happiness once a year, no matter how unrealistic it may be. And it's good for us to be sad a little that anyone is left out of the Christian tradition of giving at Christmas time. Everyone deserves a gift of some kind. Because in the end, there is no good way to interpret the phrase "all the people" in less than its broadest sense. All means more than all the people of Israel or all the Christians. For this one day, it means everyone. And you can let your imagination run with that. Even the ones who do not accept the Christian gospel. Even the ones who would seek to do it harm. This idea is a big part of what makes Christmas compelling. It softens our hearts one day a year. Clearly, we have not achieved the implications of this message, but we have imagined it, and we have worked for it, and we have desired it in our hearts, and we have come to believe in the promise of it. And it is a promise. It is a promise that the wonder in a child's eye at the lights and at the presence of Christmas will one day be the world's wonder, when the eyes of all the people light up because of God's grace. So when you give, and some of you will give tonight, some of you will give presents to one another in the morning, and others, if you are like me, your family is going to straggle in, some now, some a little later, some a little later than that. We'll have two or three Christmases. Give generously and without hesitation. And in a way, give in defiance of the world's pain and all its divisions. Never becoming discouraged or cynical or defeated. Now and forever. Amen. Angels We Have Heard on High, number 113. "Fear not," he said, "for I bring to you good tidings of great." Everyone, and God bless you. This is the finish of the service.